This is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. The Fort Worth School District has updated its safety guidelines for transgender students. KERA's Christopher Connolly says the changes came after months of uproar.
Critics of the original guidelines were vocal, especially about bathrooms. Opponents argued that the guidelines would have let transgender kids use the bathroom of their choice. Superintendent Kent Scribner says that was never true.
It was more than a misunderstanding. It was fallacy. And it was unfortunate that this issue of protecting students from being bullied became such a political football.
Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick was the loudest critic. He charged into Fort Worth to call for the superintendent's resignation and panned the guidelines as social engineering. Back in May, he told KERA the whole process felt undemocratic.
There was no hearing. There was no school board vote. So when a dictator who parades himself as a superintendent, who issues an executive order in secret to bypass local control, then I have a role to step in.
Yesterday, Patrick called the new guidelines a victory for parents' rights and student safety. In one of Scribner's first interviews since the controversy blew up, he said the guidelines are a product of a 2011 board vote that added gender identity and expression to the district's non-discrimination policy.
My job is to implement those policies with administrative regulations and guidelines. That's what we did here. We've passed guidelines on lice, we've passed guidelines on field trips, and this is another guideline. And I had no intention of engaging in a political debate. This is about protecting students so that they can learn.
After hours of school board meetings and community forums, the district has addressed one key concern from its critics. Under the original guidelines, transgender kids who asked for accommodations didn't have to worry about school officials outing them to their parents. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton said that violated state law. While Scribner insists the original guidelines were legal, the new version builds in more parental involvement. Now, when a transgender student needs accommodation, school officials are directed to sit down with parents and come up with an individualized plan.
The primary difference is the communication with parents is emphasized.
Nell Gaither worries about the transgender kids who don't have supportive parents. She heads the Trans Pride Initiative.
What the old guidelines did was gave a mechanism for students to be affirmed and to be supportive for those students who didn't have parental support. Now you've just said that those students who don't have supportive parents, they're disposable. They don't need to be supported.
Gaither says the original guidelines had specific language to help teachers, administrators, and counselors support transgender students and curtail bullying. That's all missing in the new version.
It's really important to have clear support written into school guidelines and other guidelines like this, a clear statement of support, and this doesn't have that now.
As for the question of bathrooms, Gaither wanted to see language to allow students to use the bathroom that fits their gender identity, regardless of their sex assigned at birth. When the Obama administration sent its own transgender student guidelines to schools in May, it said to do otherwise would violate federal law. Texas is now suing the administration to block those federal guidelines from being implemented. Christopher Connolly, KERA News.
Now to the big screen. Arlington filmmaker Yaki Smith spent 6 weeks in New York City working on David Simon's new HBO show. He talked with Steven Becker about what he learned.
I'm Steven Becker with KERA. Chris Wagner of The Morning News is out this week. He'll be back next week. Today, though, I am joined by Yaki Smith. Yaki, thanks for coming back.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
You spent 6 weeks in New York shadowing David Simon and also a lot of other really high-level television directors. David Simon, of course, the creator of The Wire. For someone who's interested in seeing what it's like to work on a television project, this has got to be the dream scenario.
I mean, it was amazing. Obviously, David Simon, George Pelicanos, and obviously Ernest Dickerson. You know, I'm working alongside all of these people and really just having the opportunity to see how a television show sort of comes together, because we were only working on episode 2, so it's very early on in the game, and so there are a lot of details that were still being created.
Ernest Dickerson was Spike Lee's longtime cinematographer. He also made a film called Juice, and he's worked on a million television shows. He was the director of episode 2. And I think some people might be surprised to learn that you spent that whole time, the whole 6 weeks up there on one episode of this program.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a while. I mean, like I said, the pilot was already shot by Michelle McLaren, who, you know, has worked on like Breaking Bad and Game of Thrones and many other things. And so they brought Ernest on to episode 2 because I think there were still parts of the world of the show that were being created. I think they brought him on because, again, he's able to sort of help them define some of the things that were still not yet defined.
For my money, The Wire is the greatest series that's ever been on television.
The greatest.
Of course, it's David Simon, as we said earlier. You did get to spend a significant amount of time with him. What did you take away from that experience?
Look, he's a very, very cool guy. You know, I think all of them are. I think all of them, one, they are so open, I think, to helping like a new generation of filmmakers, you know, because they didn't have to bring me on. But also, they are very, very, very attentive to detail. There's a certain person's apartment, and then she collects records. And George sat down and looked through every one of those and was like, nope, this is from 1975. This is from 1976. This is the wrong era. And he made them change it all because everything on that set needed to be right and authentic for them so that if the camera just happened to glance by something, there was no way that an audience member would be able to say, oh, that's not right, because they made sure that it was right.
People are probably wondering by now, what is the show about? And of course, it's being HBO, very tightly under wraps. We do know that it's set in the 70s. Maggie Gyllenhaal and James Franco are a part of it. I know that you're not allowed to really talk in specific, but is this a show you would watch?
It is a show I would watch. I mean, I think a lot of people are going to be intrigued. They're going to be shocked. There's some things in here that, you know, HBO is into raw. They're into gritty. And I think this show has all of those elements in it.
Well, the show is called The Deuce. It's looking like an early 2017 debut. So we'll, of course, be looking for that then. Yaki Smith, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
84 degrees now in Dallas, 83 in Fort Worth. Expect sunny skies with a high around 100.